Welcome to the Signal Creative Podcast. Signal is a female-focused organisation that supports the creation of original work. We travel around Australia and this podcast features the stories of people we meet and our experiences on the road.
Hi there, this is Emma from Signal Creative. Caroline and I are in our separate homes this week, but I just wanted to introduce the final episode of our series Made in Wagga Wagga, and it's a very special interview with the amazing Cheryl Penrith. We were running podcasting and storytelling workshops in Wagga for NAIDOC Week, and Cheryl was one of the first people that struck me in the room. There was a big gathering happening. I walked straight up to her because she had the most amazing purple knee-high boots on. I gave her a flyer for the workshop and she knew all about it, and straight away she was like, yep, I've got something to say. We are so proud to present this incredible interview with Cheryl. She speaks a lot about dealing with grief, moving forward, living your life for yourself, and so many other inspirational topics. Here's Cheryl Penrith.
Well, last week there's a bit of a milestone. It's the 7-year anniversary of the passing of my husband. It sort of hit me like a ton of bricks. Sometimes you think you're going along okay and then something like this happens, and it really makes you reflect on the last 7 years and life in general, you know, about your whole life. And I think anniversaries, they remind you of what was. I think that the love that you have for someone, it never really goes away, but you learn to live with the grief. You have some control over when you show it, whereas in the early years you haven't got that control, you know, you get upset really easy. His name was Robert. People looked at us and we were like the total opposite. So he was loud and boisterous and he laughed, and where I was a lot more quiet and reserved. He filled a really big space in my life. What I feel is I gave him a lot of my life. He passed away when he was 48. So he never drank and he never smoked. He was pretty physically active, but he liked to eat food. And for years he had undiagnosed diabetes, so he wasn't on medication or needles. So as time went on, he got all of the things that come with having diabetes. So he started to go deaf. His eyesight was failing. He'd had a wound on his foot. The last year of his life, he lost his appetite. And the doctors, they couldn't really find out what was wrong, so he went to hospital and he got all of his teeth out, and he'd had a stroke when he was in hospital. I went in the day after he'd had his operation and the nurse said to me, oh, he's right to go home. He's a bit delirious. And I tried to help him up off the bed and, yeah, he'd had a stroke. And I'm thinking, if I get him out to the car, he's never going to come back in here. So that was the kind of person he was. He hated being in hospital. They moved him to the stroke ward. And it's really hard to see people like that, you know. He probably would have had to live in an old people's home. And for a really strong, independent Aboriginal man, I don't think I could wish that on anyone. So in a way, it gives me some comfort that he doesn't have to do that. He said to me, if you give up on me, I'm going to give up. And he didn't really want me to tell anybody. It is a lot of pressure. 3 weeks later, he passed away. So it was NAIDOC week. So I'm at a NAIDOC event in Wagga, out at the showground, and I got a call from the hospital, so I went down. It was really, I just screamed, and I just said, please don't leave me here by myself. So, yeah, it's very overwhelming, and I think I was in shock. I was lucky in a way, because I think that I had some really good people around me. I think for other people, you know, if your husband's run all the finances and paid all the bills and everything, it would have been a hell of a lot worse, you know. But I paid all the bills, so I was on top of all of that sort of stuff. I don't think it really hits you. It doesn't hit you for ages, you know. Well, I had to go to the doctor because my mind was just, you know, doing somersaults, and I ended up getting some Valium or something, because just the whole shock of everything, it just hit me like a bus. So, and you know, I think you see people being sick, but you never expect them to die. I started a little shrine at home, so I put all these photos up, and I made a little garden out the back. And some of his cricket mates used to call him Buddha, because he's a big fella. I've got a little Buddha sitting out in the back garden. his spirit and his presence is so strong that I hear his voice, you know. Every decision I've got to make about stuff, he's always got a little say in it. We had dreams. We had dreams, and he was my forever. I was going to grow old with this man. So when something like that happens to you and you look around and you're there by yourself, I think you can either crumble and fall to pieces, or you can be sad, but you can pick yourself up. And I know that he would have wanted me to do great things, and he would have wanted me not to fall to bits, but to be strong. The first year on his birthday, we started a golf day. Family and friends came and we got some shirts designed and we had a golf day for him in Wagga. So we had one in Wagga, then the next year we went to Griffith because we spent a lot of time there. And then we had one out at Condo where he grew up. And then we had one in Gundagai. But then what happened after that was we started having babies and baby showers, and our gatherings are no longer sad and remembering him. It's about celebrating life, I think. And he's still a really big part of that. Before I talked about how sad I was about losing him, but now I talk about how grateful I am about having him in my life and how that's helped me to move on in my life. I said, as we gather and as our family grows, you are missed and you are loved. I think that's a really great way to honour him and be grateful for the life that we had together. I know that he would be really proud of me. So he used to call me babe and I used to call him honey. So he'd always say to people, my woman's dish is brainy, you know. Sometimes you don't do stuff because, you know, you've got a commitment to your family. But now I can do anything. I went to university, so I did the graduate certificate in Wiradjuri Language, Heritage and Culture, so I've graduated from that. I've been doing some teaching at the university. So when he was sick, I did a certificate 4 in training and assessing. I've done a diploma of management. I went and got some qualifications. I seen a bit of the country. I was an associate and a director on a company. I went and done the Rural Leadership Foundation course. I got to go on the Lingiari one. There was one in Dubbo, one in Shepparton, where I could have drove, because I don't like flying. Or there was this one in Darwin, and I thought, no, I'm going to go to Darwin. So we ended up going out to Wave Hill, you know, where they did the walk-off 52 years ago. We reenacted the walk-off. These are some of the things that really give you an opportunity to have another look at Aboriginal life in Australia. I told all these people that I've gone. It wasn't just me going, I was taking all my family and friends with me. And I took Robert with me, you know. I'm at a bit of a crossroads, as I was saying, about the 7 years. I want to do something with fashion about, as a Wiradjuri woman, how we put our stamp on our country, whether we wear it or whether it's symbolised in some way. I'm really interested in people getting up and, you know, getting dressed up and styling up and, you know, showing their best face to the world. And I think it's a way of telling people that you're going okay, you know, you're doing okay. Don't wait for something catastrophic in your life to get out and do something that you really want to do. Because sometimes it's too late. Sometimes I think we just lose ourselves in relationships and family, and lots of times people worry about what other people think. I say to people, who cares what other people think? This is your life, you know? I look at courage in a way where sometimes you've got to step out of your comfort zone and maybe walk a different path than what people expect you to do, to, you know, to do the things that you want to do.
Thanks for listening. Follow Signal Creative on Facebook, Instagram, and don't forget to subscribe to this podcast.